from now until we get into heaven, we're going to fall short on a day in and out basis. We're going to need the blood of Jesus to cover us and the grace of Jesus to reconcile us back to Him.
This is The Uncomfortable Truth.
Hello and welcome back to The Uncomfortable Truth. You will see we are in a different studio today. This is my buddy's place, Rich Ishihara. Rich, welcome to the show in your own home. We appreciate you being here. So Rich and I just hatched a game plan. He's got a new studio here. Is working on all this technology and lighting. Rich is a very successful YouTuber. You wouldn't know it because you've probably never seen his face. But he runs the Ultimate Night Vision channel, a YouTube channel where they do pig hunting, all kinds of cool, crazy, fascinating hunting trips. Tell us a little bit about what you do day to day.
Usually it's creating content. So we go out, we hunt, and we kill hogs, get the thermal footage or other video footage, and then post it to our social media channels, and then that helps us sell scopes. So the business is selling scopes.
How long have you been doing that?
Almost 10 years.
Did you start the YouTube channel for Ultimate Night Vision?
I didn't start it, but I think we had 8,000 subscribers when I started working on it.
And what are you guys at now?
1.7 million.
What are your average long-form videos? How many views they typically get on average?
3 to 4 million.
So if you guys don't know what in the world we're talking about, because there may be some of our audience that has no clue what we're talking about, thermal hunting, it is a special scope where you can see at night. And in Texas, pigs tear everything up. And so a lot of the farmers and ranchers around here want to eliminate those pigs and get rid of the nuisances. And that's what Rich does. That's what their company does. They sell these scopes. The brand's called iRay. That's what it does. Tell us a little bit about you, your family, where you grew up, those type of things.
I was born in Australia. Lived there till I was 7. My parents were over there because of a teaching shortage. And then we moved back to the States, I guess it was around 1990. And so I grew up in Northern California, and then went to college down in Southern California at Cal State Northridge. Came to Texas to go to Baylor for law school, and that's how I got out here in Longview. And met my wife, Kristen, while at Baylor, and she was a year ahead of me. So she got a job out here at a law firm, and then I came out once I graduated.
Kids?
Got kids. Got a boy and a girl. Brianna just turned 13. Lucas is 12.
Feels like they're involved in everything, right?
They're involved in, I guess a lot. Lucas and your son Memphis have been on the soccer team for several years.
That's where we get to sit. So when it's dad duty to take to practice, right, we get to sit on the sidelines and just talk about life, hunting, our walk with the Lord. Like, all those things tend to come up because we're just sitting there, you know, paying attention to our kids, right, watching them practice, but also getting to hang out with, you know, another dude that's kind of going through a similar season of life. My kids are the same age, obviously. One's exactly the same age, and my other two are close. And so just kind of walking through general life issues is nice, even sitting at soccer practice. You and I have had, it feels like when we go to the soccer games and we are sitting at practice, we have sometimes some pretty deep conversations about life, where our world is now. And you and I have tended to get on the track of just kind of mindset things. Let me go back a little bit. You just got saved not too long ago, right?
Right.
How long ago was that?
I think that was last year.
What led you to that point? Where were you at before? What led you to making that decision?
Oh, wow. I would say that's a long, meandering journey.
Okay.
I've never really talked about it in detail to probably anybody except for my wife.
Yeah.
But I didn't grow up in any sort of organized religion. I mean, I would say I think my mom's side of the family were Christian, but not actively going to church or anything like that. It wasn't anything that was normally part of our household. My dad, his family are mostly Buddhist.
Okay.
And religion just wasn't much of a thing.
On mom's side, wasn't that important? Dad's side, being Buddhist, was he practicing Buddhist, or it just kind of something like, we're Buddhist, or we're Catholic, or we're Christian? And
it was more like, you know, like there were certain like funerals and stuff where you'd see the tradition, but I wouldn't say it was like an everyday practice. And I would say my dad in particular wasn't strictly religious or anything like that. He's actually gotten into Christianity later in life.
So you were raised not with a strong Christian background, and over the past couple of years, I don't know your wife well enough to know her, right? But I feel like she's had a pretty strong relationship with the Lord for a while. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, she grew up in the church, and she's been, regularly practicing going to church. It's just, you know, what her parents and her grandparents and everybody, it's what they've been doing. So I've been going to church since my wife and I have been married, but I would say, it's hard to say. I had just kind of intellectual barriers, you know, science-based stuff and logic, just evolution and the age of the universe and stuff in the Bible that when taken literally is just hard to wrap my mind around.
Yeah.
So basically my journey to faith has been more of just do the actions. Mm-hmm. And I've always appreciated the values and the community of the church. And, as I get older, I would say, as a parent, the lessons and the values that are in the Bible make more and more sense to me from the viewpoint as a parent. And so even though I had some intellectual barriers that were kind of preventing me from squaring everything in my mind, I just made a decision to just walk the walk and live, or try to live, as though I believe that God exists and the Bible is true.
That's a hard decision to make when, you know, our brains want to understand everything, right? Our brains want to make decisions or conclusions based on hard evidence. And then there's like this crisis of conscience that we realize that, and I've recently kind of gone through this where some things, like you're saying, I have a hard time making them add up in my mind. It's difficult to understand because we just don't understand everything. I don't understand everything. And so I like what you're saying as far as, like, it seems like for you it may have been a pragmatic decision. I'll ask you, was it an emotional decision leading up to that point? Did you feel movement from the Lord calling you, or was it at this point, I feel like this is what I'm going to put my effort towards based on data, or was it something else?
I would say it's basically a leap of faith. It's like, you know, I can't square all these things in my mind logically, and if I'm looking at everything literally, then I'm going to run into all these stumbling blocks. And my focus was just focus on the stuff that is important to me and just walk the walk and see what happens.
I kind of equate that to growing up, hang out with my grandparents all the time, right? Every time I go over there, from the time I can remember, 6 years old, 5 years old, 7 years old, smelling coffee. And my grandpa would drink coffee all day long. And I really loved and still do, love the smell of coffee. And I had this strong desire to like coffee until I tried it. And then I tried it, and I did not like it. However, I still had a desire to like it because other people around me liked it. And eventually, the desire to desire something creates a true desire. Does that make any sense?
It's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Kind of where I'm getting to is that, Shane, if you're gonna say you're this, you got to walk the walk, right? It may not feel, you may not be filled with butterflies and wonderful emotions by getting up and reading our Bible every day. But if I create discipline around the desire that I wish to have, I truly believe that a true desire will come from that. Have you had any experience with that so far in your journey?
Yeah, I would definitely say I've had some experiences that I couldn't explain. It's like after dropping the kids off to school and just driving back in my truck by myself, just kind of feeling a wave of emotion and mm-hmm. gratitude come over me.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to describe like where that came from. And all these things are pretty nebulous, the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. But I can feel something move within me. So mm-hmm. I'm just remaining open to it and yeah. walking the walk and doing the practices as best I can mm-hmm. and hoping that everything else sort of comes along.
I've run into quite a few people that are smarter than I am, right? And I consider you quite a bit smarter than I am when it comes to a lot of things. And it's the most challenging, I think one of the most challenging things for people that are really smart is taking that leap of faith that you took. It's like, okay, I don't know everything, but I'm going to just trust that this is the route that I'm supposed to be going on. You mentioned, you know, having some of those feelings and then seeing things. I don't think we get to see everything that like God, where God's working come to fruition, right? On this side of heaven, maybe when we get to heaven, maybe we get to see some of those things. But some of the things that have happened in my life, one that I remember that happened a couple of years ago, my wife, very strong Christian, and we were praying for an employee. Your wife actually just called you, and she was super excited about a new employee. It's a big deal when you run a business, right? And you get somebody that you feel like is going to be good. And we were praying for a new employee, and she mentioned one person, specific name. I keep hearing this name, this lady's name. The next day at church, we're walking into church, and a lady stops us and says, I don't know what's going on, but I feel the Lord calling me to work for you guys. And it was that lady. And we had not talked to her in, I don't know, probably 3 months or so. And it's like certain, like specific instances like that that I can go back to that just are like, okay, God, that doesn't happen. You know, it's not some random coincidence. And fortunately enough, I get to see that, right? Or we get to see some things like that throughout our life that just prove that God is in control and that this thing is real. From the saved experience, how has your viewpoint of the world changed?
That's hard to say because I wouldn't say for me, it's like a lot of people have these really compelling testimonies about being saved, how like it kind of smacks them right in the face. And me, it's just a gradual thing and just basically orienting myself in the right direction. I think probably the most compelling thing for me is that through the 40 years I've been on earth, I've learned what is not the answer. Mm-hmm. Like, I think me and you have a lot in common with that. It's like the pursuits that you have in life, you have all these goals and things that you want to accomplish and things that you focus your time and attention on. And just coming to realize that those things are not the ultimate answer, and there has to be something more important or something meaningful to point towards. Mm-hmm. And what better thing to point yourself or orient yourself towards is the most high, or the ultimate good, which is God.
You and I have had quite a few conversations about that and purpose, and I wrote some things down, but purpose and meaning, and like you said, maybe what we've done to this point is we're fine. It's like you hit 40 or you hit a certain age, and it's like, what is the meaning of all this, right? I grew up in church. We were there every day, every time the doors were open, every time. It was almost, it was good for me to be forced to do that. However, it felt forced, right? It didn't feel as much like a decision that I had made. And so I had to kind of find my own faith through all these years. Not to say that what I think is truth, right? But like really understand what that looks like for me. And it's been difficult coming to the realization that, you know, half of our lives are over, right? Close. And we could die tomorrow. Like, we could have less than half of our life left. And realizing, like, are all these things that I've been striving for, are they really important? And what is my metric based on?
If you actually are honest with yourself and you think about it, none of this stuff is important. Nobody on earth right now, while you're alive, cares about most of the stuff that you think is important. Most people just go about their day. They're not thinking about you or look how successful that person is,
right,
or how famous or how powerful or whatever. And that's especially true, like, after you die, and you're thinking about, oh, you're leaving this legacy because you accomplished A, B, and C.
Nobody really cares.
Nobody cares. That doesn't leave any sort of lasting impact on the world. And the thing that I've realized, and this is not something I've come up with on my own, but the only lasting impact you have is the people who you have impact on directly. So your family and your friends and the people who you have a direct touch point with.
A lot of the things that we actually do on a day-to-day basis don't have that impact, to be real. Like what I'm doing, you know, we're working on Airbnbs all the time. We've got a few small businesses, and they may have a small amount of impact on people, but do they really? I mean, that's a question that I think we both ask ourselves, is that what are we striving for? And are we impacting people in that same manner, right? And if what we say we're striving for doesn't line up with what we're actually striving for, then are we on the wrong track? And then how do we undo that and get on the right track?
And how do you figure out what the right track is?
Yeah. When you have questions that you don't feel like you can wrap your mind around, what do you do? Where do you go?
I talk to my wife, and I pray.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I pray in any sort of formal way, but I do pray, and I do ask for answers, and
yeah,
it is helpful. I've never heard God speak to me, but I do get clarity.
Yeah.
When I pray.
Like, many times I want the Lord to just like write down a list of things for me to do. It's like, okay, Shane, you want to get your life in order? Like, this is what you got to do. Check these boxes right here. That'd be not that it would be easy, but it would be clear.
Yeah. I think about that, and I think, you know, just please make it obvious for me. Please, right. Please make this obvious for me. And one of the things that was helpful or instructive was, I was listening to the Exodus series with Jordan Peterson, mm-hmm, that he did, and just hearing about the Israelites and how they were given so many clear signs and miracles, and how long did it take them to forget it? Just almost instantly, and yeah, it was incessantly, it was repeatedly
yes,
repeatedly they just went back to their own ways, their old ways and their old mindsets. And I feel like that's me.
Yeah, I think we all can. The stories in the Bible are there for a reason, right? We're going through Genesis at church right now, and it's like Abraham sleeping with his slave to have a baby because he thought God was, he was trying to misconstrue that God was going to give them a son. And, you know, and how's that applicable to us today? And then the next story is, one of the next stories is God destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. And how is that applicable to us today? To a certain degree, I think, you know, we have a guide plan. We have a book to go by. And, but it's like in conjunction with the Holy Spirit of like reading this thing and being like, I don't really understand what's going on. Like, why, God, would you need to tell me this or what's going on in Genesis or Exodus or whatever? And then relating it back to our day-to-day lives. Let's jump into, we got a few minutes left. Let's jump into YouTube and or just social media type platforms and screens. We've talked a lot on our show about almost the downfall of our society with the screens that we have on a day-to-day basis. Knowing what you know about YouTube and shorts and all those things, what's your thoughts on our world today with technology and screens?
It's a gift and a curse.
Okay.
It's such a contradiction. There's a lot of positive that comes out of it. Your access to information, your ability to connect with people is really powerful, but at the same time, they are a distraction. They get you focused on the wrong things. They reward inattention. They serve up things to you that are problematic.
Mm.
So I have that internal conflict all the time because my job is social media, but every time I open those apps, I hate it. It's such a time waster. I go to post something for work, and an hour later, I have no idea how I got to where I am on my phone screen.
Yeah,
on the internet, they're so good at grabbing your attention and pulling it away from what you should be focusing on. That it's tough.
What would you? We're going to end on practical advice here. What would be your best practical advice? Like, knowing what you know about how good they are at creating your algorithm, what is some practical advice to combat that on a daily basis?
The things that I've done that have helped out a lot is turn off all your notifications. Turn everything off.
You can turn off like text notifications?
I have a focus setting for work where I only get text messages from certain people during work hours. And I'm sure you could extrapolate that to other situations where it's family time and stuff like that. But yeah, just turning off all the in-app notifications where your phone buzzes and lights up every time somebody mentions you or responds to something or anything. I mean, Facebook will come up with any reason they can to pull you back in. Like if you haven't logged on and opened up your Facebook account in a while, they'll find any reason they can to get you to open up that app and just get back in there. So turn all your notifications off, and then also tailor your feed. So like if you see stuff that you know is not good for you and not productive, you can click on those things. I know on Instagram you just press and hold on it and say not interested and not interested. I do that on YouTube. I've tuned my feed, my algorithm on YouTube and Instagram to just not show me stuff that I know isn't going to be productive or positive for me. And it's a much better experience. Like I go on YouTube and it's actually a positive experience. Mm-hmm. I still don't particularly like Instagram and Facebook because they will show you suggested posts that you didn't ask for and you can't turn them off. But YouTube's pretty good. You can tune your algorithm to only serve you up stuff that you want to see.
Let's focus on YouTube for a second. If I want a lot of dudes out there, I think most dudes probably struggle with a similar thing of like looking at some hot girls, whatever. And if you specifically want to change your algorithm on YouTube by forcing, like, click on the things that are going to be positive for you, how long will it take that algorithm to turn over? Do you know?
Well, it's much easier to tune it by saying what you're not interested in. So sometimes I'll just spend 20, 30 minutes going through the feed and saying, not interested, not interested.
Okay.
Not interested, not okay. interested.
Where do you click that at? Is it on the actual video that it's showing you?
Yeah, I think there's some dots or something.
Okay.
Some menu where you just click and say, not interested.
Okay.
It'll ask you, you can say why. It'll ask you why. If you want to say why, you can say why.
Okay.
Or you can just say, don't recommend this channel at all.
So okay.
It's really easy to do on YouTube.
Okay.
On Instagram, I had to do that. I think by default, like, Instagram just shows you a bunch of women in bikinis and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Because when I've started a new account, I'm like, what?
Yeah,
what is going on here?
Yeah.
So I just go in there and just not interested, not interested,
okay.
not interested. And now my feed's pretty much mostly just mixed martial arts.
Okay.
Apparently.
Okay.
That's what I click on, and that's okay. But
yeah. That's not destructive to your humanity.
No. Not too much.
That's some good practical advice. We're going to end right there. Appreciate y'all joining us today. Remember, go kick the day in the face, and we'll catch you on the next one.